It's Good Friday, and Dr. Don Wilton has prepared a special message to take us deeper into this remarkable day in history. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist and pastor. And today, as we celebrate Good Friday, we don't just celebrate what happened historically, but what happens in each of our lives when we move through this process of being more like Jesus, of being that one willing to do whatever it takes to take care of whatever God calls us to do. As we receive that challenge, we want you to know that you're not alone in that challenge. We're a part of the body of Christ. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
What a wonderful blessing just to be together like this. Just think about it for a minute. In the world in which we live, such joy. The world in which we live, that there can be such joy. What does your world look like? You know, we so many times, don't we? We look out there and we see all the things that are going on we consider our world. What about your world? What about you? You know, Jesus, before I even open our Bibles today, you know, Jesus asked one of the most incredible questions. The disciples were together. And he said, well, who do people out there say that I am? What do they think about me? And one of them looked at him and said, oh, they all say you're John the Baptist. You know, Jesus might have looked at him and said, well, why do they do that? Well, you know, you're fearless and you know, you're a powerful preacher. And Jesus would have said, yep, that's right. I am. And then someone said, no, they don't say you're John the Baptist. They say you're Elijah. Well, why would they say I'm Elijah? Well, you know, just like Elijah called on God and defied the prophets of Baal, and look what God did, and you just remind them of Elijah, and Jesus would have most likely said, "You're right. I am like Elijah. I do come against the pagan gods of the world." And then somebody else said something, and Jesus then turned to them, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And you know, that's that great statement where one of the disciples said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You are God. You're the only one. You're the only Jesus one. So, you know, while it's wonderful to be here together today, I want you to know that I'm just so praying for you. I love you so much. Just thank God for you. And I'm really asking the Lord that God would speak to you in your world. That's why I want to speak to you today about what the resurrection means. This is the most incredible news. You know, it is just mind-boggling. It's wow, backwards and frontwards. You cannot describe this, that Jesus is alive. And I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles and look there with me. You might want to get out your iPad or your phone, your cell phone, whatever means you've got today. Go to that little app that says Bible and click on Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 15, and just take a look at this passage with me for just a few moments. This is incredible. This is what happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. This is what Paul said to a group of people just like you and me. For I delivered to you as of first importance this which I have also received. What do you suppose must have been so important that it occupied first place? You know, when I read that, I said to myself, if I had only one thing that I could say to you all today, that I could share with you, what would be so important it would occupy first place? I just have to say that this is what he was saying here. This is first, this is it. That Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then he appeared to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. That was over a period of 40 days. We know according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, spent 40 days. Did you get this? After he came alive, he appeared to them. And then he appeared to 500, most of whom are still alive. Many of them, Paul said, have died. Then he appeared to James. And then he appeared to all the apostles. And Jesus hung around after he came out of the grave. And evidently, Paul knew that this account of Jesus' death and his burial and his glorious resurrection was so important that it was more important than anything else. And it was the meaning of the resurrection. Jesus had completed his assignment to God in complete fulfillment of all that was necessary for you and for me. And yet he waited after he came out of the grave for 40 days. And he appeared to all these people. We know it was well over 500 people. We know he walked down the road to Emmaus. He went to the Sea of Galilee. He had breakfast with the disciples. He talked. He did all kinds of things after he came out of the grave. What is the meaning of the resurrection? I think when Jesus gathered his disciples together, long before he went to the cross, Jesus knew everything because he's God. He gathered them. They, in a sense, they had a little like a mini church service to talk about Easter Sunday. And Jesus said, tell me about the world out there. What's going on? Well, if he was to ask me today, I've got a lot to talk to him about. I think I'd talk to him about politics, about the President of the United States, who's going to be in the White House. I'd talk to him about the global market. I'd talk to him about refugees who are suffering. I'd talk to him about Cuba. I'd talk to him about Cuba. I've met many wonderful Cuban-American people. They are some of the finest people you'll ever meet. But it's known all around the world that ever since Fidel Castro invaded his own country, that the Cuban people have been oppressed and they've suffered greatly. That hasn't been a nice place. Thousands of people fled, you know. Thousands of them fled. Thousands of them lost loved ones. Remember the Cuban Missile Crisis way back then in the 60s with Nikita Khrushchev and President Kennedy? Cuban thing is, you know. But you know, something really interesting happened. I nearly came out of my seat. My boys, the Rolling Stones, went to Havana. Brother Mick, he did. I can't do it like I used to do it because I can't get no satisfaction, but I've done. They arrived in Cuba. Now, you and I cannot imagine. They were all there. Keith Richardson was there. Now, boy, oh, these guys are getting old, man. They are these boys are a little on the old side, you know. Keith, have you taken a good look at Keith Richardson? Bless him. One of my friends said you can drop a quarter in any part of his face and it'll disappear. I didn't say that. A friend of mine said that. They're getting a little long in the tooth. But here was the interesting thing about the Stones. One of the Cuban men that was interviewed made a statement. This was his statement. This is what he said. He said, I'm telling you, this is the best thing that's ever happened. I have waited all my life for this. You know, I wish that I could have sat down next to that man and told him what the resurrection means to me. It's a couple of things about the resurrection, what it means. It means that we can know God. See, everybody's trying to find God today. God is being defined and redefined by every culture, every person, every nationality, every country, every religion. The resurrection means that we can find God again. See, our sin has separated us from Him because Jesus was born, went to a cross, and then was raised. It means that through Him, we find Him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Some years ago, I was in a foreign country, a communist country, and I was at a huge banquet with some very high up diplomats, and one of them, the main one, very high up in the country, began to speak to me. And when he spoke to me through an interpreter because he couldn't speak English. And then I had to speak to him through the interpreter, and he said this to me. He said to me, what is a Christian? I said, well, a Christian is someone who has found God. He wanted to know how that happened, and I said to him, Mr. Ambassador, you know, when you spoke to me a minute ago, you didn't sort of speak to me, but you did. How did you speak to me? You spoke to me through an interpreter who spoke to me. It was you speaking to me, but the interpreter made it possible for you and me to have a conversation. And I said, that's Jesus. That's the meaning of the resurrection. It means you can find God. It means you can be forgiven. Amazing. People everywhere are looking for forgiveness. I'll lead the way today. I'll lead the way. I will tell you that I'm a sinful man. I was born in sin. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness in order to be saved, to come to know Christ, to have peace with God. And I did that. I confessed my sin to Him and I gave my life to Him. But as a believer, I need forgiveness because I'm a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. This is what the Bible says. Bible says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more from Dr. Don Wilton in a minute. Oh my goodness, isn't that one of those powerful scriptures that we just embrace and take great joy and pleasure in, to know that if we just confess, that's what God's calling us to do, to confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By no means am I asking you to call and confess to us. But I am telling you, if you want to call and pray, sometimes the most important things we can do is just say, pray for me about this, and just give us the tip of the iceberg. We don't need the details. My youth pastor used to say, Britt, sometimes you just got to shut up and pray. We would be thrilled to shut up and pray just for the direction you feel like we need to pray about. Because it could be that this truth of Scripture, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It could be that on this Good Friday, we could be a part of together watching God cleanse you and give you a fresh beginning in your life. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And it'll connect you right now during the broadcast, but it'll also, anytime, day or night, will route you through to one of us who would be honored to pray with you and pray for you. We'd be thrilled to connect with resources as well. That's a part of what we do. But the key of why we have this phone number and the way to connect on our website, tewonline.org, is because when we began this ministry years ago, Dr. Wilton said, we must have an opportunity to make this more than a presentation. It needs to be a conversation. So we'd love to hear from you. 866-899-9673 is the phone number, or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, tewonline.org. Now back to today's Good Friday message, What the Resurrection Means with Dr. Don Wilton.
What is the meaning of the resurrection? It means that you can be forgiven. Is there anyone listening? How is your world? Anyone needing forgiveness today? If you're not forgiven, you cannot have peace with God. Only Jesus can do that. What is the meaning of the resurrection? It means that you can have peace. See, when you find God and you are forgiven, you have peace. But what about you? Do you have peace? Are there bombs going off in your own heart? How's your marriage doing? Anger, the search, the conflict. What triggers you? How quickly does it take for you to go ballistic? I didn't say that you were, Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? It's all very well for the world out there to say that I'm this and I'm that, but what about you? So this is the meaning of the resurrection. You can have peace. The resurrection means that you can live meaningfully. Meaningfully. That was my life, you know. When I was growing up, I had an adventurous life, no doubt about it. I understand motorbikes and surfboards and beautiful places and wonderful beaches. I even married the love of my life. But I tell you, even in my mid-20s, it was the meaningfulness of life that was missing. See, I was one of those many of us. If Jesus had said that to me, well, Don, who do you say? See, if I was there, I could have popped it out there, because my daddy was a preacher. I could have said, well, Lord, seeing you're asking that question, you know, out there, and some people think that you, some people, you know, and oh, they say you're a good man. But man, I got to that point in my life when Jesus looked at me and said, who do you say that I am? And when I said yes to Jesus, meaningfulness came into my life. Yeah, I wish that I had some very special way to describe that to you. It's an inner sense of purpose. Do you wake up every day without meaning? You know, maybe you can even look at your own life today and say, you know what? I'm blessed. You can be blessed but not have meaning. You can have fantastic motorbike, and you can have surfboards, and you can have grandkids and wonderful spouse and a home and live in a beautiful place. Do you know you can live in a place as beautiful as this and still not have meaning? That's why the resurrection is unbelievable, folks. I think this is why perhaps Paul said this is of first importance. You can have a meaningful life. You can live meaningfully. What does the resurrection mean? It means you can know God and you can be forgiven. You can have peace. You can live meaningfully. You can begin again. How's your world? You can begin again. Is there anyone today that needs to come back home? You need to come back home. You know, most of us stray. We get off track. I'd love to stand here and say, you know, I've always just been right there exactly where I need to be for the Lord. But you know something? I haven't, folks. You and I stray. We go our own way. Sin gets in our life. We begin to look in different places and we get pulled aside. What's been pulling you aside? How's your church life doing? Are you in church? Are you involved? Are you getting fed? Are you being inspired by God's word, this magnificent singing today? Can you give 2 hours a week to the Lord Jesus in a way like this that will give you so much fuel that you'll know that every moment you're living for Him? You see, the resurrection means that we can begin again. I want to say something to somebody, whoever you are, somebody today, that you're so far from God that you really believe in your heart that it's over. It's not. When you look at Jesus, when He came out of the grave, He conquered sin and death in the grave. You can come back again. And I'm going to tell you something. You are welcome in this place. Do you know what this does to us? I'm a pastor, folks. I see people all the time move from the front seat to the middle seat to the back seat to the outer seat. I watch it all the time. It's like just a movement. You know what it is? As people begin to become affected by the things of this world, things that are not good, things that are okay but not good, as they begin to move away from God, one of the first casualties is they stop coming to church. Listen, if you are living out of harmony with your wife, you are going to do everything you can to stay away from home as long as you can. You'll make up meetings, you'll extend your work hours, you'll go to work earlier. That's what you'll do. If you're not in harmony with the person that you love, you don't want to spend time with her. So you'll keep making. Then you'll come home and you'll throw up road barriers. You'll walk into the house, put on the television set. Walk in, where's the remote control? I just got to see this. And you walk in, just got to do this. I just got to do this. And what you do is you psychologically, you throw up barriers in order to prevent yourself from that beautiful, close communication with this person that really you do love. And you know, sometimes you feel that love. You'll make all that, and it's like you want to, but you just can't. The resurrection, the living Lord Jesus, enables you to begin again. I want to, in His name, invite you, make that decision with Him, the living Lord Jesus. What does the resurrection mean? The resurrection means that you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven. You don't have to go and kill someone in order to do that. That's not what Christianity is, because someone was already killed in order to enable us to do that. He took our place. False religions turn everything back to front. False religion says, I have to do something to somebody else in order to justify my acceptance into this place called paradise, by whatever definition. The empty tomb, the resurrection, tells me that Jesus took my place. He gave His life so that I am set free. It's not about me, it's all about Him. And it's His gift for me to receive. I receive that gift. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast or brag or think that we deserve. We don't. It's all about Him. That's what the resurrection means. I wish that I could go to this Cuban friend of mine whom I don't know. I'd love to go and say, man, I hope you enjoyed the stones. I'm sure they did. But I got something of first importance. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And that means because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Oh, it's more than just a great classic hymn. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. It's a truth. And for me, I sang that hymn for many, many years because I knew about God. I knew how good God was, but I didn't know Him personally. I pray that you wouldn't let the traditions of Easter or your habits of being in church and being connected to Christianity to let you miss what it means to be connected to Jesus, the Savior, the Christ. That's my life. That's my testimony. I spent too many times just going through the motions. But once I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, it has never been the same again. Perhaps today's the day for you to make that choice. If you have questions, let's discover the answers together. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or maybe the question that you have is what Doc's about to answer. How do you give your heart to Jesus?
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If on this Good Friday you've given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've rededicated your life to Christ, please let us know about it. Dr. Don has some unique resources, completely free, available for you if you just let us know and let us pray for you. 866-899-WORD is the phone number to call. That's 866-899-9673. And it's available not just now, but 24 hours a day to connect with one of us. Happy to talk with you, pray with you, maybe connect you with resources that will help you grow. But just know, more than anything else, we would be excited to see what God's doing in your life and how we might could partner in you that to encourage you in the next steps. You'll find a lot of resources online as well. TEWonline.org is our website. That's TEWonline.org. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of traffic right now of folks saying, is that Dr. Don's book? Yes, Dr. Don wrote a wonderful book called See You at the Finish Line. Here are all the details.
The world is rapidly coming to an end. We are seeing the Bible being fulfilled almost every day. Be careful who you watch and listen to. The world is full of false prophets. Hold fast to the Word of God. Give your heart to Jesus now. Join Dr. Don Wilton as he reveals biblical truths about end times in his message, A Picture of End Times. Plus, you will receive See You at the Finish, written by Dr. Wilton. Both of these ministry resources will be sent to you for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word. You will be inspired and encouraged to finish the race set before you. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request A Picture of End Times plus See You at the Finish book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Wow, what a great week. Our time's wrapped up for this week of the Encouraging Word Daily Broadcast. But you need to know that Dr. Don will be quick to launch you into this weekend more than any other, but actually every weekend, to know that you need to be a part of a fellowship of believers where you can not only be fed with great teaching and great praise and worship, but where you can roll up your sleeves and get involved. Our mantra here at the church is you need to be involved in worship and prepare a small group. You need to be serving, and then you need to be engaging the world around you. I'll bet there's a church near you that would help you kind of exercise those disciplines as well. If you need help finding one, call us. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. And both Jim and Michelle love helping folks find churches. We've got a network of churches all across the globe. We'd love to help you plug in. 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. I pray that you won't miss out on being in church this weekend as we celebrate Jesus here on Easter weekend. The Encouraging